The reading this morning comes from the New Testament. It's in Acts chapter 12 and pages 1106. Yeah. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gates leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without doubt that the Lord had sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the brothers about this," he said, and then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. Then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there a while. He had been quarrelling with the people of Tyre and Sidon. They now joined together and sought an audience with him, having secured the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king. They asked for peace because they depended on the king's country for their food supply. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a god, not a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God continued to increase and spread. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Val. Father God, we pray that you tell us what you want us to get out of that reading. Help us to understand what message is in there for each one of us. Amen. Well, what a story. I'm sure they ought to have made a film out of it. I don't know, I've never seen it, but it should have been made into a film. It starts off with King Herod. Now, King Herod is not the one that we know at Christmas. So King Herod is sort of a job title. And he wasn't the one that was around when Jesus was killed either. This Herod was the grandson of the one that tried to kill Jesus at Christmas. And he was the nephew of the one that was involved in Jesus himself's death. So, you know, they weren't a nice family. But like everyone, this Herod, wanted to be liked. In fact, even more than being liked, he wanted to be adored. Now, remember, the Jewish leaders, they hadn't liked Jesus. That's why they killed him. And they still don't like his disciples. So, how was Herod going to get on the right side of the Jewish leaders and get them to like him? I know. I'll kill a disciple. So he did. Herod killed James. Remember, James was one of Jesus's best friends. He was one that went up the mountain of the Transfiguration story with him. He was a best friend. And the Jewish leaders were pleased. So Herod thought, right, I'll get another one. So he got Peter, another of Jesus's best friends. But it was Passover. Now, Passover is a really important Jewish festival. Everything closes down. Very strict rules about what you can or can't do. So, to keep on the right side of the Jewish leaders, Herod had to wait. He had to put Peter in prison to wait until Passover had finished. He wasn't taking any chances. There were four groups of four guards, and Peter was chained, not with one, but with two sets of chains. So there he was, in prison, chained. Four guards who kept changing shifts with another four guards. Herod thought he was important and strong. He had Peter where he wanted him. So there's Peter in the cell. Meanwhile, the rest of the disciples and friends, well, they were absolutely distraught. James had already been killed, and now Peter's in prison and he's about to be killed. So they gathered together to pray. Not just a little meeting with, you know, tea and cake, but proper, through the night, earnest prayer. They were at Mary's house, and it must have been, you know, quite a house because it had an outer entrance and a servant. So it was a good place to meet. In fact, you know, many people had gathered there to pray. So Herod might have thought he was strong and important, but compared to the glory of God, he was nothing. While the people were praying, an angel appeared in Peter's call, in Peter's cell, with a shining light. You know, not trying to hide from the guards then, you know, shining light, shine, Jesus, shine. Peter was asleep. Can you imagine it? You know, you're likely to be killed tomorrow, but he was asleep. So the angel woke him up. Quick, get up. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Put your clothes on and your sandals. Wrap your cloak round you. How considerate is this angel? It wasn't just quick, get out of here before anyone sees us, but, you know, get dressed properly in the light and follow me. So Peter followed in a daze. He thought he was still asleep in a vision. They went past the first and the second guards and then through the iron gate that opened by itself. And when they'd walked a whole street away, the angel knew that Peter was safe, and so he left him. And then it sort of dawned on Peter that actually this is real. Where shall I go? I know where they'll be. He went to Mary's house. He guessed they'd be there. And then it really turns a bit into a comedy. Rhoda the servant hears him knocking, but she doesn't let him in. And of course, the disciples don't believe her. So eventually, they sort themselves out. And they're all very astonished and excited. And Peter's going, shh, you know, we don't want the guards to hear or anything. So he disappears. In the morning, there was no small commotion, it says, about what had happened. You know, two guards chained to a man, four guards altogether, iron gates. How had this man gone? And it was standard practice in those days in the Roman times. Herod had a thorough search for Peter. Can't find him. Cross-examined the guards. They didn't know. So the normal thing of the day, the guards were executed. They didn't do their job. How could they? So that was that. God showed that he is at work to continue the plan. Herod and his plans to kill the disciples off so soon was no match for God. The disciples had got work to do. They had to get people knowing about Jesus all around the world. It was the whole point of Jesus being here. I mean, if Jesus had come and then all the disciples had got killed and nobody knew about him, what was the whole point of it? So they had to be able to spread the word. God is in charge, and he shows it with miraculous works. So, what about Herod? Well, he went off to Caesarea to see the people of Tyre and Sidon. He didn't really like him, but it's politics. You know, we've often said nothing changes. It's politics. They needed food from Herod's country, so they had to pretend to like him. So when he was all dressed up in his fancy robes and he made a speech, they pretended to like him like a god. And Herod was well chuffed with all the adoration. And he didn't give God any praise at all. God was not impressed. Sent an angel to deal with him. Herod was eaten by worms and died. Now that's fascinating, isn't it? Because if it said he died and was eaten by worms, you'd think that would be quite normal. You know, you died, you get buried, you put in the ground, eaten by worms. Normal. But he was eaten by worms and died. So there was a historian, Josephus, and he wasn't a Christian. I think he was Jewish, but he was not sort of a religious man particularly, but he wrote history. He was just a historian. And he wrote about this part of history, and he described Herod as doubling over in pain and suffering for 5 days before his death. And the biblical historians think that probably he had peritonitis from a parasitic infection, such as Schistosoma haematobium. And that would explain the maggots. Remember Luke? Yeah, you're impressed, aren't you? Remember Luke, who wrote this, was a doctor. So he would have been interested in that. So the maggots ate Herod. So God's plan is on track. God's plan is always on track. And the Bible, even a book as big as this, has an end. It's got a front cover and it's got a back cover. But the plan hasn't finished yet. It's still being written. And at the moment, we're part of the plan. We are in the story. And the question is, what part are we in the story? Are we helpful to God or are we a hindrance? Now, we could try and stand in God's way. After that story about what happened to Herod, I would suggest it's not a very good idea. Trying to stand in God's way just isn't going to work because he's just amazing. It could be that we want to be part of God's plan. Yes, God, I want to be part of your plan. But maybe we are a bit tied up in chains. There can be chains that we're so used to that we don't even recognize. things that we've thought or things that people have told us. Now, I've told you this lots of times, so I'll tell you again. When I was at school, I was told off about my Brummie accent. I believe life is different now, but this was the mid-70s. If you had a Brummie accent and you were at a school in the middle of Solihull, it did not go down well. So I soon learned to keep quiet, not volunteer to speak at all. Stay in the middle. Don't be really good, but equally try not to be really bad. Don't be noticed, just get through it. So what am I doing standing here in front of you doing this talk? How has that happened? Now, Ellie will tell you that she can remember the time when I used to stand here and I was holding onto the lectern like this and I was shaking. Isn't that right? And now I'm sort of doing this. What's happened? I don't know. It wasn't something like Peter's chains just suddenly got chopped and I suddenly be able to stand here without holding onto the lectern and not falling over. Somehow something's happened. What are your chains? There are many ways that constrict how we live, how we play. How we do anything because we're in chains because of what someone said to us or what someone did to us or what they made us believe. But actually, God wants us to be free. So that's one thing to think about. What are your chains? And that, another thing, notice how the people were praying earnestly together. They hadn't given up hope. Even though they didn't believe that they would help, they were praying for Peter to get out. And when he did, they didn't believe Rhoda when she came to tell them. Even she didn't really believe it. She left him outside. And yet, even though they didn't believe it, they didn't believe it would work. They still prayed. And God did miraculously step in with an angel. God wants us to pray to him. Jesus said so. And how much do you think doesn't happen because people don't think it's worth praying? God cares for his children. The angel didn't just say, shh, we've got to creep out. Be quiet. No. Put a shining light on. Get dressed properly. Put your shoes on. Put your coat on. God's glory marches forth because he is the creator of heaven and earth. He shines amongst his people. And Joyce didn't know when she chose Shine Jesus Shine. She didn't know I was going to say that. So God is working his purpose out, which was the first song that we sang. She didn't know that either. God's working through Joyce. We can stay locked in our chains, or we can be free and part of God's glory. We can assume that we can do nothing, or we can earnestly pray with God and ask for the mobilization of his great glory to be seen in our world. And the thing is, we never know the answer. James was killed. Peter was saved. Or James had a fast track into heaven and Peter had to stay with the people that were being got at. Which is which? We don't know, because only God knows. So what is our part in it all? Let's pray. Glorious Lord God, help us to remember to pray to you about the things that we care about. Help us to remember that you are part of our world and that you care for us. Amen.